This session brought to you by Gold Standard Preservation, helping us dive deep into a critical question in liver transplantation.
Yeah.
How do surgeons know if a liver is healthy enough to transplant?
That's the big question, isn't it?
It's like trying to judge a used car, but with way higher stakes.
Well, you're exactly right. The consequences are huge.
Right.
And with the demand for donor livers far exceeding the supply, surgeons are increasingly considering organs from what we call extended criteria donors.
Okay.
These are donors who might be a bit older or maybe had certain health conditions.
A little bit riskier.
Making their livers a bit riskier to transplant.
So it's a delicate balance. We want to
absolutely
save as many lives as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But using a liver that won't function well, obviously, doesn't help anyone.
Right.
That's where these viability tests come in, right?
Yeah.
It's like giving that used car a thorough inspection before you buy it.
Precisely. We need to make sure the engine, so to speak, is in good condition. One of the tools that allows for this kind of testing is machine perfusion.
Okay.
It's pretty remarkable.
Oh, wow.
Surgeons can actually assess a liver's function before it's transplanted.
That's incredible. I'm picturing it like a heart-lung machine.
Yeah.
But for a liver, so what's happening during this test drive?
No.
What are the mechanics and what are surgeons looking for?
Well, first, you need a highly skilled team of surgeons and preservationists to carefully connect the liver to the perfusion machine.
Wow.
This process called cannulation requires a lot of precision.
Okay.
Then a special fluid called perfusate is circulated through the liver.
Okay.
Mimicking the conditions inside the body.
So they're basically tricking the liver into thinking it's back in action.
Exactly. And as the perfusate circulates, we can take samples and analyze them every hour for key markers of liver health.
Got it.
This process can go on for up to 12 hours before a final decision is made.
Wow.
About whether or not the liver is suitable for transplantation. Talk about a nail biter.
I can only imagine. Okay, so let's talk specifics.
Yeah.
What are some of these markers that surgeons are analyzing?
Yeah.
I know from the material you sent that pH and lactate are crucial.
Yes, they are.
Okay.
You see, when a liver is deprived of oxygen,
right,
like when it's outside the body, it starts to struggle.
Yeah.
It can't produce energy efficiently.
Gotcha.
And this can lead to a buildup of lactic acid.
It's like when you work out really hard and your muscles start to burn, right?
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
That burning sensation is caused by a buildup of lactic acid in your muscles.
Right.
And just like your muscles, the liver can suffer if there's too much lactic acid hanging around.
Okay.
We see this reflected in the pH of the perfusate.
Okay.
A lower pH means a more acidic environment, often due to that lactic acid buildup.
So if the pH is low, that's a red flag.
It can be, especially if they have to correct the pH with bicarbonate.
Oh, really?
That's like putting a Band-Aid on a bigger problem, and it suggests the liver might not be able to recover fully.
Interesting. Okay, low pH probably trouble. What about the lactate levels themselves?
Sure.
Is there like a specific number that makes a liver a no-go?
It would be convenient if there were a simple cutoff, but it's more nuanced than that.
Okay.
What we really want to see is a downward trend in lactate over time.
Gotcha.
If lactate levels are persistently high,
right,
even after hours of perfusion, it's a strong indicator that the liver is struggling.
So it's less about a single number and more about the overall picture.
Yes.
Like, is the liver showing signs of improvement on the machine?
Exactly. We're looking for signs of recovery and stability.
Okay.
Speaking of signs, let's not forget about bile.
Oh, right. Yeah. Bile. I remember that being mentioned in the material.
Right.
What's the significance of that?
Bile production is actually one of the best indicators that a liver is functioning properly.
Really?
It's a sign that the liver is actively processing and clearing waste products, which is its primary job.
So more bile is better.
Generally speaking, yes. Of course, we also look at the quality of the bile, its pH, and glucose content for further clues about the health of the bile ducts,
yeah,
and the liver's overall metabolic function.
So we've got this incredible technology,
yeah,
that essentially allows surgeons to peek inside a liver and gauge its health in real time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like having a window into its inner workings.
It really is. And while we're analyzing those labs every hour,
yeah,
for up to half a day, we also need to make sure the liver is being perfused properly.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I actually jotted down a note about flow rates.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Flow rates are critical. For example, the hepatic vein outflow, yeah, should be around 2 liters per minute,
oh, cool,
while the portal inflow should be no more than 1.1 liters per minute.
Gotcha.
The difference between these two gives us the arterial inflow.
And why are these flow rates so important?
Well, think of it like a delicate dance.
Okay.
The flow rates need to be carefully balanced to ensure that the liver is getting enough oxygen and nutrients.
Right.
While also allowing waste products to be effectively removed. It's all about creating the optimal environment for the liver to recover and show its true potential.
This is incredible. Okay, so we've covered pH.
Yes.
Lactate and bile production. Are there other things surgeons look at during this perfusion process?
Yeah.
Or are those the key players?
Those are definitely some of the stars of the show.
Okay.
But they're not the only factors we consider. The liver is an incredibly complex organ.
Yeah.
And there's a whole other layer of bilisys
yeah.
that focuses on something called mitochondrial function.
Oh, interesting.
Because remember,
yeah.
even though we're focused on pH, lactate, and bile production,
mm-hmm.
those are just clues pointing us towards the overall health and function of this liver.
Those are just clues pointing us towards the overall health and function of this liver.
Exactly. And when it comes to a liver's ability to recover from being outside the body,
right.
a lot of that comes down to how healthy its mitochondria are.
Mitochondria, those are the powerhouses of the cell, right?
That's right.
From back in biology class, I vaguely remember that.
They're responsible for generating the energy that the liver needs to perform all its vital functions.
Yeah.
And when a liver is deprived of oxygen, like during transplantation,
right.
those mitochondria really take a hit.
So if the mitochondria aren't functioning well, that's a problem.
Absolutely. It's like trying to run a marathon with weak leg muscles.
Okay.
You might start off okay.
Yeah.
But you're not going to make it to the finish line. And in the case of a liver transplant, that finish line is a healthy functioning organ in the recipient's body.
So how do surgeons assess mitochondrial function during this perfusion process?
Well, it's not as straightforward as measuring pH or lactate.
Right.
But we do have some tools. One of them involves looking for a molecule called flavin mononucleotide, or FMN.
Oh.
It plays a role in the energy production process within the mitochondria.
So more FMN would mean more energy, which would be good, right?
Not quite. It's actually the opposite.
Oh.
High levels of FMN in the perfusia, especially during hypothermic perfusion,
okay.
where the liver is kept cold,
yeah.
can indicate that the mitochondria are damaged and leaking this molecule.
So it's a bit counterintuitive. High levels of this energy molecule actually mean less energy for the liver.
Exactly. It's a sign of mitochondrial distress, and it's been linked to poor outcomes after transplantation.
Oh, wow.
So while we're carefully monitoring those pH and lactate levels,
okay.
we're also keeping a close eye on FMN to get a sense of how those tiny but mighty mitochondria are holding up.
This is all so fascinating. It really highlights the complexity of transplantation
yeah.
and the level of expertise required to make these decisions about organ viability.
I couldn't agree more. It's a testament to the skill and dedication of the entire transplant team, the surgeons, the preservationists, the nurses, everyone.
Wow.
They're all working together to give patients the best possible chance at a new life.
Well said. So we've talked about pH, lactate, bile, and now mitochondrial function.
Right.
All assessed during this perfusion process. It sounds like this technology is truly revolutionary. What are your thoughts on the future of this field?
That's a great question.
Where do you see things going?
And I think the future is incredibly bright.
Okay.
We're already seeing exciting advancements like metabolomic analysis, which allows us to analyze a vast array of molecules in the perfusate and bile,
okay.
giving us an even more comprehensive understanding of the liver's metabolic state.
That sounds incredibly powerful. It's mm-hmm. like upgrading from a basic blood test to a full genomic analysis.
Exactly. And beyond that, researchers are working on ways to monitor mitochondrial function in real time.
Wow.
Continuously throughout the perfusion process, that would be a game changer.
I can see how that would be incredibly valuable. It's like having a live feed from inside the liver showing us exactly how it's responding to the perfusion.
Precisely. And as technology continues to advance,
right.
I have no doubt that we'll see even more incredible breakthroughs in the field of viability assessment,
yeah.
leading to more lives saved and more second chances for those in need.
Well, this deep dive has certainly been an eye-opener for me, and I imagine for our listener as well. Before we wrap up, I'd love to recap some of the key takeaways from our discussion today.
Sounds great. Let's do it.
Sounds great. Let's do it. Okay, so we started by talking about this incredible technology machine perfusion that essentially allows surgeons to give a liver a test drive before transplantation.
Right. And we dug into the details of what they're looking for during that test drive, things like pH and lactate and the perfusate.
Right.
Which give us clues about how well the liver is handling oxygen and producing energy.
And then we can't forget about bile production.
Yes.
That seems to be a real MVP in the viability assessment process.
Absolutely. Healthy bile production is a strong indicator that the liver is actively doing its job.
Right.
Of processing and clearing waste products.
And then you brought up this whole other layer of analysis focusing on the mitochondria.
Right.
Those tiny powerhouses within the liver cells.
Yes, because even if the pH and lactate levels look good, if those mitochondria are damaged, the liver's long-term function could be compromised.
So like making sure the foundation of a house is solid, even if the paint job looks great, right?
That's a fantastic analogy you need, both for a truly viable organ. And we talked about how high levels of FMN can be a sign that those mitochondria are stressed and potentially damaged.
All this just goes to show how much goes into evaluating a liver for transplantation. It's so much more than just looking at the organ and saying, yep, this one looks good.
You're absolutely right. It's a testament to the remarkable progress in transplantation medicine and the dedication of everyone involved in this incredibly complex process.
This deep dive has been so insightful for our listener who may not be as familiar with all this. Hmm. What's the one key takeaway you'd like to leave them with?
I'd say it's this. Even with organs from extended criteria donors, which might have seemed unusable in the past, we now have the tools and technology to assess their viability with incredible precision, giving more people the chance to receive the gift of life.
It's really a remarkable feat of science and human ingenuity, isn't it?
It truly is, and it makes you appreciate the incredible resilience of the human body and the potential we have to overcome even the most challenging medical hurdles.
Well said. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the world of liver transplantation and viability assessment.
It was my pleasure.
And to our listener, thanks for diving in with us. We hope you found this exploration as fascinating as we did. Until next time, stay curious.